Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, which is entitled Lord Chaitanya Travels to the Holy Places. And today we will read verse 16 and 17. So I'll read number 16, not on the board. There he saw Lord Mahadev Shiva, the servant of Lord Ram. He then went to Ahovala Nrisingha. So this was at Malakarjuna Tirtha. He saw Lord Shiva, which is from the 15th verse. Okay, so today's verse, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Upon seeing the Ahovala Nrisingha deity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered many prayers unto the Lord. He then went to Siddhavata, where he saw the deity of Ramachandra, the Lord of Sita Devi. Purport. Siddhavata, also known as Siddhauta, is 10 miles east of the village of Kudapa. Previously, this place was also known as the Southern Benares. There is a great banyan tree there, and it is therefore known as Siddhavata. Vata means banyan tree. Nrisingha dekhiyatang rikaile natistuti Siddhavata gela jahan murti sitapati. Upon seeing the Ahovala Nrisingha deity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered many prayers unto the Lord. He then went to Siddhavata, where he saw the deity of Ramachandra, the Lord of Sita Devi. Om Agyanatim Randasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sagana Raganatan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vikangstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brinda Vinishvare Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktaruba Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam. So my gratitude is extended to the organizers for having the opportunity to speak, which I hope will purify myself, and I pray that I can say something that will inspire you all, but I don't have the power to do that, so I just hope that Srila Prabhupada gives me the words that I can say something relevant and bona fide on this very elevated topic, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the postgraduate study. And I'm very happy that we study this twice a week at Bhaktivedanta Manor, because it's not a fixed policy. Some temples, they do Bhagavatam always, which is also very nice, but I personally like the variety of having weekend Chaitanya Charitamrita classes. And it takes a long time to get through the book, as we were on Ramananda Roy Samvad for so many months. There was over 300 verses. Now we're on Madhya 9, which is Lord Chaitanya travelling to the holy places. So in this verse, it's mentioned that he went to Ahovala Nrisingha, and he offered prayers. The term used was nati stuti, offering various prayers. So if anyone was observant when they were going through Madhya 8, the same thing happened at the beginning of Madhya 8. Lord Chaitanya offered prayers to a Nrisingadev deity. Does anyone remember the name of that deity? Jiyada Nrisingha. Jiyada Nrisingha. And there's some wonderful prayers. If everyone who's been to Mayapur knows that we sing extra prayers to Lord Nrisingadev because we have Ugra Nrisingha deity. So this is my marriage ring. It's about 24 years ago. No, maybe not 23, 22 years ago. And this has been on the finger of Lord Nrisingadev, Ugra Nrisingha. So I feel like it's very special. I don't like wearing jewellery, but wedding ring I like to wear, and it's just really nice to know that I've got this maha because it's been touched by the finger of Ugra Nrisingha. At the time, I said to my wife, it was her idea that we do that with our wedding rings, gave them to the pujari, and I said, we can't do that because Grihasthas don't worship Lord Nrisingadev. It'll spoil the marriage. And she said, we're not worshipping, we're just getting some blessings and so forth. So I went along with it, and I was very happy. And when I was in Mayapur at the time, the rule at the time wasn't Brahmin initiated, but on the day of Gundicha Marjana, we know they just throw all this water across the marble floor, everyone's cleaning. And the rule was I was allowed to go inside the altar where Lord Nrisingadev was. I didn't go too far in. It's a nice, as you know, everyone knows it's a tunnel. But I had this big duster and I was reaching up and getting a few cobwebs. And the ceiling is black from all the burning of incense and so forth, and the flame, etc. So it's a lovely tirtha. Wherever the deities are installed, that is a tirtha. But actually, wherever the Lord steps, that is a tirtha. So what is the name of the Lord? There's so many names of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord that means he who, wherever his feet touch, that place becomes a tirtha? Who can think of a name of the Lord that has that meaning? Tirthapad, correct. So Tirthapad means whatever he touches becomes a holy place. So Lord Chaitanya's business, why is he travelling around? Everywhere he goes, he's creating holy places. And actually the Gaudiya Mat, they would install little footprints of Lord Chaitanya at the different places he went to. So that's what Tirthapad means. But Tirthapad has another meaning. Anyone know other meanings? Has many meanings, actually. It means he at whose feet all tirthas reside. You know, so we have, like, for example, why the Ganges, right? How does the Ganges come to the earth? Lord Vamanadev pokes a hole through the covering of the universe and the Ganges water comes in. It's from the causal ocean. So the Ganges water has touched the feet of the Lord. Therefore, that's why the Ganges water is purified. It's purifying. So all the holy waters, they reside, they take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And there's a little pastime in connection with that, which I won't go into, but it's the formation of Radhakund. Krishna just needs to stamp in the ground and so many tirthas, they all come, all the waters come. So this is the glory of the Lord. So we see the two angles of the Lord. When he's traveling, from one angle of vision, it looks like he is a devotee of the Lord and he's going on pilgrimage for his own benefit. And he's teaching us how to do the same. Yeah? Apani Karimu Bhakta Bhava Angikari, Apani Achari Bhakti Shikai Musabari. In Adi Leela, they said, Lord Chaitanya speaking, kind of is Krishnadas Kaviraj paraphrasing Lord Chaitanya's mood, or Krishna's mood. He says, I will come in the mood of a devotee. I will embrace the devotional sentiments, and by practicing devotional service, I will teach it to others. You see? So it said, Rasika Shekha Krishna Paramakruna. Edui hetu hoiti ichara udgama. He has two names, Paramakruna, because of his preaching, he's mercifully spreading the holy name, and Rasika Shekhar, because he's tasting the inner mood. Prema rasa niryasa kuriti asvadana, raga marg bhaktiloka kuriti pracharana. So, asvadana means, what does it mean? We sing it in the morning. Gurvastikam. Asvadana, what does it mean? Come on, Chaitanya, you must know. No? It means tasting. Someone said it. Who said it? Thank you. Tasting. So he's tasting, and it's Raga Marg Bhakti Loki Kuriti Prachar. What does Prachar mean? Preach, yes. You see. And what is the qualification to be a preacher? Achara prachara namera karoho duikarya, tumi sarva guru, tuma jagatera arya. Lord Chaitanya glorifies Haridas Thakur. Your achar, your behavior is perfect, and your prachar, your preaching is perfect. Therefore, tumi sarva guru, you're the guru of everyone. To really be a guru, you have to practice what you preach. Because some people have in Scotland they say, the gift of the gab, which means you're able to speak nicely. But some people can speak very nicely, and their inner life, personal life isn't so good. We don't want that. We want people who can practice what they preach, you see. And if you can't practice what you preach, then you can humbly say, this is what we should do, you see, because we must preach. How will we become purified if we don't try and spread Krishna consciousness? So we must make some effort, you see. So the Lord, I'm looking at the Madhya 9. It's all about visiting holy places. Although, what is the most important aspect of this from the perspective of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami? Well, the way I decide is I look at the sort of seed verse for each chapter. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he's writing in Bengali, but he has his own Sanskrit compositions, and each chapter has a Sanskrit verse which summarized one of the most important points of that chapter. So in this particular chapter, the most important point is the crocodiles of false philosophies like Jainism, Buddhism, Mayavad were defeated by the Lord. So he's preaching. Okay, he's visiting so many places. It looks like he's becoming purified. In actuality, he is purifying those places. And he's seen so many deities. So it looks like he's engaged in deity worship, which he is. But of course, he is the deity himself. But he's also philosophically defeating the false philosophies. And when Prabhupada created, he wrote his own pranam mantra. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Desatarini. It's very important. This is Prabhupada gave this description. Why did he give it? Because some of his sannyas followers started to say that he was God. Now, Shakshadhari, the guru is as good as God. But as we sing in the morning, Kintu means but. Kintu, what's the next bit? Purporya Priya Eva Tasya. He is still the Vande Guroshi. Sakshat Haritven Na Samasta Sasya Uktastatha Papadasavasadbi. Kintu Praborya Priya Eva. Priya Eva, that's what I wanted to say. Priya Eva means he is the beloved. Priya Eva Tasya. He is the beloved of the Lord. If you see the Guru as God, that's okay as long as you also see him as the beloved of the Lord. You see? Yajapi Amara Guru. Chaitanya Radas, Tatapti, Chaitanya Prakash, Tangara Prakash. He is simultaneously Chaitanya Das, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, and Tangara Prakash, a manifestation of the Lord, because he is the transparent Vaya Media. So we have these two things in balance. He is Lord and he's not the Lord simultaneously. Then we have the perfect mood of how to worship the Guru. So, when I was reading I was going through the chapters. There's a wonderful YouTube channel. I think it's David Lugan. I can't remember now. But anyway, if you really want to know, I'll tell you. I'll find it for you. But you can just Google. If you go on YouTube and you do narration of Bhagavatam, you'll come up with this channel which has the Bhagavatam narrated chapter by chapter. You'll have the Chaitanya Charitamrita narrated chapter by chapter. Some narrations are just verses and some are verses and purports. You'll have so many other of Prabhupada's books narrated. So there's no an excuse to not listen to Prabhupada while we're doing our housework or whatever we're doing. We can always have these YouTube channels on and we could be going through all the Prabhupada's books without having to strain our eyes. We can be doing other things. We can be cooking, etc. and always be hearing the beautiful purifying words of Srila Prabhupada and his transcendental ecstasies, his purports. And as I say, there's so many, I don't know if it's all his books, but there's so many of his books are in this format. So it's very enlivening. And, you know, you can even put it on 1.5 speed if you want to listen to quickly, you know. If you're like a gyani and you want to get through to the, get as much knowledge as you can. But if you want to just savor it, you can put it on slow if you want and just relish Prabhupada. It's not Prabhupada's words, but relish the narration of Prabhupada. So Anyway, so I was doing that. I was lying in my bed and late at night one night, and I was thinking, I'll just listen to the whole chapter just so I get an overall idea. And I was thinking to myself, yes, Lord Chaitanya is setting the perfect example of how he's a devotee. And I was reminded of another perfect example is Ambarish Maharaj. So he's famous for engaging all his senses in the service of the Krishna. You know, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachangshi Vaikuntha Gunana Varnane Karau Hari Mandira Marjana Dishu Shutim Chakarachuta Satkato Daye. So his mind was always engaged in meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. And I was thinking, yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the same. He was always meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. And then he was always talking Krishna Gita. Yes, Lord Chaitanya was always talking Krishna Gita, just like Ambarish Maharaj. You see, perfect example. Karau Hari Mandira Marjanadishu, and his hands were engaged in cleaning the temple. So when in particular did Lord Chaitanya clean the temple? Anyone know? Gundicha Marjana. So when he was cleaning the temple, his pile of dust was always bigger than everyone else's, so he was the best at cleaning. So it said, clean the temple, you're simultaneously cleaning your heart. So I always remember, I felt very pure after I was cleaning Gundicha Marjana day and in Mayapur Dam. I felt very pure, and it was a very sweaty, hot day, but after all this cleaning, I had a shower and I was in bliss, and I remember it. Just if we'd make an effort to clean our houses, because it's the abode of the Lord, then we become purified. And Shrutim Chakachuta Satkato Daye, he was always hearing about the glories of the Lord. So when did Lord Chaitanya hear the glories of the Lord? It was the last chapter, right? Most of his conversations, if you take this, look at his conversation with Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Prakashananda, Sarasvati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya is the preacher. But in that particular pastime, Madhya 8, it was the other way around. Ramananda Roy is the preacher, and Lord Chaitanya is listening, and he's going into ecstasy. So that's Satkato Daye. Sancharya Ram Mabida Bhakti Mege Sva Bhakti Siddhanta Chayam Ritani. Gorabdi Ritaya Manas Vityunais Tadzgyatva Ratnalaya Tam Priyati. It's a beautiful analogy that Lord Chaitanya is like the ocean, and Ramananda Roy is like the cloud. So the cloud rains on the ocean. And by this rain, the ocean becomes filled with jewels. So Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy is increased. Even though he's the source of all the knowledge of Ramananda Roy, he experiences more ecstasy by hearing it. Ramananda Roy is giving back to Lord Chaitanya what he actually received from him, because he's empowered by Lord Chaitanya. This is the way it goes. And I was thinking the same, that upon seeing the holiness thing of deity, Lord Chaitanya offered prayers unto the Lord. But he is the Lord. So the Lord is offering prayers unto the Lord. So what are some of the prayers to Lord Nrsingadev? Ugram viram mahavishnam jvalantam sarvato mukam nrishingam bijanam bidram nitmur mitjurnamam yaham. What's the other one? Jaya jaya sri chit. No, was it? Nrsingha jaya nrsingha jaya jaya narasingha. Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa. These are wonderful verses, and they're sung in every day in Mayapur Dam. So Ugram Viram means Lord Nrsingadev is very ferocious. Mahavishnu, we know what that means. He's actually Vishnu Tattva. Jvalantam Sarvatomukam is blazing mouth. Rissingham Bishanam. Bishanam is very fierce, very scary. Badram Richum Richum. He's feared by death itself. He's a death of death. Mrityu Mrityum Namamyaham, the offer obeisances. Praladesha. What does Praladesha mean? Means Isha means the Lord. Praladesha means he is the Lord of Pralad Maharaj. Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa. And what is it? It's like a bumblebee. Mukha Padma Bringa. At the lotus face of Padma. Padma means the goddess of fortune, you see. And there's another verse which is from the eighth Madhya 8. Ugro, and it's from Sridhar Maharaj. Sridhar Swami, the Bhagavatam commentator, he's a devotee of Lord Nrsingadev. So, Ugro Pyanugra Evayam, so Bhaktanam Rikesare, Kesareva Sapotanam, Anyasham Ugra Vikramaha. Just as the lioness is very fierce to people in general, or all living entities in general, but very loving and caring to her cubs, in the same way, Lord Nrsingadev is very fierce to the non devotees. But he's very loving to the devotees. So you can take shelter of Lord Narasimhadev and take the mercy. But not all forms of Narasimhadev have the same amount of mercy. Some are more fierce and some are more merciful. So let's talk about Ahovala. So Ahovala, place, it's north of Tirupati, it's in Andhra Pradesh. And it's a small town, and that's where the Ahovala Narasimha deity is. So not only is Ahovala Narasimha deity there, that's the main deity there, which is Swayambhu. Who knows what that means, Swayambhu? It means self-manifest. Suddenly this deity appeared. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Deities can just appear like that, like Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So, Ahovala Narasimha is the main deity in this area, but there are eight other Narasimhadev temples that are famous, and there are even other more than that, actually, but eight in particular are mentioned alongside Ahovala Narasimha. So one of them is Bhargava Narasimha. Bhargava is the name for Parashuram, because it said that Parashuram performed austerities at that place, so there's a Narasimhadev deity there, temple. There's Chatravat Narasimha, Swami. All the deities, they have the name Swami. So it's Ahovala Narasimha Swami, Bhargava Narasimha Swami, Chatravata Narasimha Swami. So what does Vata mean? And if you listen to the purport, you'll know what Vata means. Vata means banyan, yes. Vata means banyan tree. So then there's a Narasimhadev temple, and the Narasimhadev is taking shelter of a banyan tree in that place. So it's known as Chatravata Narasimha. There's also Jvala Narasimha. So Jvala Narasimha is the very fierce form. It's the form of Narasimha just as he's coming out of the pillar. So he's incredibly angry, incredibly fierce. Jvala means his mane is, it's like it's on fire with anger. Jvala Narasimha. So that's not the most merciful form of Narasimha. So if you come in there with an offensive attitude, then be careful. You might find your material life gets spoiled. Maybe your spiritual life will be benefited. You know, Prabhupada used to say, you know, he said he was very morose. He actually told of how yasya hum anugrihami harishita danam shana tato danam chidant yasya sajana dukha dukitam, verse from the 10th canto. Lord Krishna wants to give special mercy to his devotee, he takes everything away in that poverty-stricken condition. The person is forced to take shelter of the Lord because even his relatives will abandon him. So Prabhupada related to that because all his business activities were fruitless ultimately. His family life was unpalatable. He wasn't getting the help he needed. So he felt very morose. He actually said when he came to the West, he was saying this, and the devotees laughed. And he said, no, it was, you would feel it. It was very sad. So we all have these attachments, and we can just look into our heart and think, what would I feel like if I lost? And you can fill in the dots. Maybe it's a person that you might lose, someone that you're very attached to. Maybe it's your property. Maybe it's your bank account. Maybe it's your prestige. Maybe it's your learning. Even that, we have to give it up, because as we get old, you know, we get dementia, Alzheimer's. You know, there was once a very, very talented female politician known as Margaret Thatcher. And as she got old, she couldn't read anymore because when she started a sentence, by the time she got to the end of it, she'd forgotten the beginning. This is true. So this is a fate that we all have to accept. Nayamam atma pravachanina labhyo na medayana bahuna shritena yameva ivati vrina tena shitaiva yashatma yashatma. Anyway, there you go. My memory's gone as well. The verse means, you cannot attain the Lord by pravacha, by speaking nicely, bahushruta, knowing lots of verses, medaya, by lots of scientific knowledge. Yam eva shi vrinuti tena labhyas taishatma tashaisha atma vivrinuti tanum svam. He reveals his true self, his real self, to whomever he chooses. Let's not forget the Lord's a person. There's no mechanistic process to attain his darshan. Just because you know 100 slokas, 1,000 slokas, 10,000, doesn't mean you're going to attain the darshan of the Lord. I always remember a funny story that Madhavananda Prabhu spoke. He went to one of the kings of one province, and maybe it was in Jagannath Puri or nearby on Bhuvaneshwar, And he was in the taxi, and with him was a great pandit. He knew so many shlokas. Now, Madhavananda Prabhu knows lots of shlokas, but this pandit knew, he said he knew like maybe 10 times more. He just knew so many. And what did he do? He brings out a bidi and starts smoking in the taxi. So there you go. You can know so much, you can be a great scholar, doesn't mean you're a pure devotee. So why did we talk about that? Yeah, I was talking about the fierce nature of Lord Nrsingadev and how the Lord takes away, as a type of mercy, he takes away all our material attachments, you see. So that was Jwala Nrsingha. Then we have Karanja Nrsingha. That's the former Nrsingadev that has a bow and arrow. So he's like Lord Ram. He carries a bow and arrow. And then there's Krodha Nrsingha. So what does Krodha mean? Okay, trick question, you're wrong. It's Krodha, not Krodha. Krodha, if you aspirate the D, it means anger. But this Krodha without an aspirated D means, actually means the boar. We use the word Varaha a lot more often, or Shukra. But Varaha, Shukra, but Krodha also means Varaha. So there's a Varaha Nrsingha deity in the Ahovala Nrsingha area. Have you been? Or you know about it? So you went as a child. There's actually a lovely YouTube video, and it was Dhruva Prabhu, son of Dharmatma, and Nrsingananda, Prabhupada disciple, he did a video, and this was many years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago almost, and it's Dhruva going to all, visiting all these places, and it's wonderful, it's very nicely done. Nrsingananda's took the video, and you see Dhruva climbing up all these dangerous sort of mountains. There's even like the pillar. Well, it's actually smashed. The pillar's been smashed, of course. Lord Nrsingha smashed the pillar, but the rocks are there, that where the pillar used to be. And it's just a wonderful area. Dangerous area. Tigers there. You know, snakes. So you have to be careful. But if you want to do the trekking up and you have a guide, because it's not a very well-known area, you can find all these lovely Nrsingadev temples. And some of them have like underground caves with water in them, and so you wade through water. He went there and he waded through all this water, underground cave, and he came to the deity, and guess what? There was a marriage ceremony going on. So everyone was wet, everyone was ecstatic. The bride was soaking wet, the pujari was wet, the groom was wet. But it's a wonderful tradition they have there. So it's a wonderful adventure. So I mentioned Krodha. So the significance of Krodha Nrsingha is, well, as you know, Hiranyakashipu was killed by Nrsingadev, but Hiranyaksha, the brother, was killed by Lord Varaha. So this former Nrsingadev, Krodha Nrsingha, we have the Varaha and the lion, the Nrsingha aspects there. So they represent the killing of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So that's a wonderful deity. We have Malola Nrsingha. So Lola means beloved, and Ma means the goddess of fortune. So this is a milder form of Nrsingadev, not as fierce. So we have Lakshmi Nrsingadev, you know. So Malola Nrsingha, Nrsingadev and Lakshmi. I used to go on the Polish tour, used to do festivals every day, loved it, and we had Lakshmi Nrsingha deities. So every morning we'd be singing Jaya Lakshmi Nrsingha, Jaya Lakshmi Nrsingha, like this, so. That's a milder form of Nrsingha, not as ferocious. Keep away from Ugra Nrsingha, Jwala Nrsingha. If you're a sinful person, you know, you might get into trouble. And we have Pavana Nrsingha. There's a lake, Pavana. And so the deity there is known as Pavana Nrsingha. And we have Yogananda Nrsingha. And that Yogananda Nrsingha is said to be the most merciful form. So we have so many yoga instructors these days. So Nrsingadev is also a yoga instructor. Apparently he instructed yoga to Prahlad. So he's known as Yogananda Nrsingha. So he knows the yoga postures, of course. So I don't know who he meditates on when Nrsingadev does yoga. We know who Lord Chaitanya meditates on. He meditates on Radha Krishna. Anyway, it's all very exciting stuff. So let's go back. I was talking about Ambarish Maharaj. So I mentioned how, you know, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindaya, his mind was fixed on Krishna, his words were engaged in glorifying the pastimes of the Lord, his hands were engaged in cleaning the temple, his ears were engaged in hearing the pastimes. But the verse continues, there's three verses. Next verse goes, Mukunda Lingayana Darshani Drishau Tad Britcha Gatcha Sparshenga Sangamam Granam Chatat Saroja Saurabe, was it Granam Chatat? Grahanam Saroja Saurabe Srimatula Sha Rasanam Chadarpiti. And so that's the second verse of this three verses. It means he engaged his eyes in seeing the deity form. So as we know, Lord Nrisingha, Lord Chaitanya, he's on pilgrimage. He's going to all the various temples, and his eyes are engaged in beholding the beautiful form of the Lord. Let's not forget what Krishna consciousness is. It's not an intellectual endeavor. It's not about how many mantras you can chant. Ultimately, it's about fixing your mind on Krishna, because that is the most important instruction. If you look at the Bhagavad Gita, the most important instructions, Manmana Bhavamadbhakto. Manmana means fix your mind on me. Or in the 12th chapter, Mayeva Mana Adatsva, Mai Buddham Naveshaya, Nivashisha Shimaiva, Ata Urva Mashangshaya. You'll come to me if you think of me and engage your intelligence in me. You see? So just thinking of Krishna, that is what Krishna consciousness is. All the other stuff that we do is to bring us to that platform. And if we do all the other stuff, but in our heart of hearts, we're absorbed in other things, we're attached to our relatives, the fallible soldiers, we're attached to mundane music, to sports, to breaking the regulative principles, if we do. We're attached to all these things, then what is the use of all our sadhana? It is known as niyamagraha. It is performing sadhana for the sake of the rule, not for the sake of advancement. So we should always remember, whenever we chant Hare Krishna mantra, I'm talking to myself here because I'm an offender. We should always remember that I'm actually doing my japa not to get through 16 rounds, but I'm actually supposed to be hearing the mantra and thinking of the Lord, you see. We should always remind ourselves that the sound vibration is transcendental, and that is why we're doing it. Otherwise, we can be chanting for many lifetimes and we will not make spiritual advancement. So how to control the senses? Well, the tongue is in control through the chanting of the Mahamantra and through the taking of prasadam. There's a lovely verse in the 11th canto. Tavaj jitendriya nasyad vijitanyendriya puman. Yavaj najayed rasanam yavaj jitam sarvam jiterase. If one has controlled all the senses but has not controlled the tongue, one is said to have not controlled the senses. On the other hand, jitam sarvam jiterase. If one has controlled the tongue, then all the senses are automatically controlled. So if you want to control your senses and become a Gosvami, and we all have to become Gosvamis, we don't need to take sannyas. Prabhupada uses the term so-called renounced order in the Bhagavad Gita. There's one purport. He talks about the so-called renounced order. What is he saying? He says, real renunciation is a state of consciousness. It's not about an ashram that you're in. So you can have the danda and not be renounced, or you could be a grihasta and perfectly renounced. And so many of Lord Chaitanya's associates were grihastas, and they were perfectly renounced, you see. So he calls it the so-called renounced order of life, which I find very amusing, because he himself is a sannyasi, but he's not claiming authority on the danda. He's claiming authority because he's actually surrendered to Krishna. Okay, so it's a very important point. So, jitam sarvam jitirasi. We're going to become Gosvamis, then control the tongue. And Prabhupada sometimes says it's very easy, isn't it? He says it quite often, and as we know, it's very hard. Krishna consciousness is simultaneously very easy and very hard, right? So controlling the senses, it's very, very hard. I know this. I've been trying to control my senses for over 25 years. Well, I used to try, and then I didn't even try, and at least I still tried to try. Anyway, and then I'll try, yeah, but anyway, we'll get there in the end. But the key is, Prabhupada says, very simple. He says simply, do not eat anything that is not offered to the Lord. So how many of us can do that? Some of us have our little vices. We have our cherry Coke, or we have some like donuts from a certain shop, or there's a restaurant we like. It's a vegetarian restaurant. I really like the food there, so I go there. We all have our little vices. But it's actually understood we have to look at things holistically. If we can control the tongue, jivavigam udara pastavigam, the other urges are automatically controlled. Udara means the stomach, we don't overeat. Pasta, genitals controlled, all through controlling the tongue. So you want to control all the senses, then control the tongue. So how do we control the eyes? Well, I've answered it already, just control the tongue. But what if you don't have a controlled tongue? Well, we can look at the deity form, you see. So we have these art galleries all over the world where we can see beautiful forms. But we have the Hare Krishna temple where you can see Krishna himself. And which is better? Who's more beautiful, Krishna or a portrait, self-portrait of Van Gogh who's got a bandage around his head because he's cut his ear off? So which is more beautiful? Which is more beautiful? Obviously Krishna. But we have to have the vision, yeah. To have that vision, Niyata Prakasham. He's an eternal form. We sing it in the morning, Vishesha Shobham. So Shobham means beautiful, but Krishna's beauty, it's not just beauty, it's Vishesha Shobham. It's especially beautiful. He is the most beautiful of all the unlimited incarnations. So Ambarish Maharaj, he controlled his eyes by seeing the form of the Lord, as did Lord Chaitanya. Mukundalingayani Darshani Jashau. Tadbritchagatras Barshenga Sangamam. How do we engage the sense of touch? I mean, it's not what the verse says, but one answer is we touch in Tulsi. Prayojana Prabhu. Yes, but what is Tat Britcha Gatra Sparshenga Sangama? What does it mean? What does Britcha mean? Britcha means servant. We engage our bodies in touching the devotees of the Lord. You see? So when you see a devotee, you should feel the urge to embrace the devotee, hug the devotee, pat them on the back. Or if you're superior, you pat them on the head. Don't be condescending, but the guru pats you on the head, it's very nice. Sometimes the gurus, they rub the hair of the disciple. Or you touch the feet, if it's a senior. Yeah. So it's nice. We're sociable creatures. We have the need to have like loving relationships. So we can embrace each other as devotees, and then we feel happiness, and it's spiritual, you see. So it's nice. Not that we have to be, because we have to give up so much, we can somehow feel a little bit something missing. But if we have lovely prasadam, and we get to hug each other, and we get to chant Hare Krishna, then everything's nice, you know. We get to see the Lord. This process is easy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Shreya and Priya. Priya means short-term easy. Shreya means long-term benefit. So Priya, short-term benefit. Some processes, the short-term, they're very difficult. Dry austerity hardens the heart, very difficult. But then you get mystic power, which is a type of sense gratification. But that is your Shreya, if that's what you want. That's your long-term benefit. But devotional service is easy. Just to chant Hare Krishna, dance, take prasadam, have a little sleep, then do the same again, repeat over and over again. Dancing, chanting, feasting, dancing, chanting, feasting. Prabhupada said these are the three things that make up this Hare Krishna movement. The three pillars. There's another one, philosophy, reading the books. That's there. Prabhupada said, if you don't want to chant, you can read the books, but you don't have to. You don't have to be a pundit. There's a lovely story of a devotee called Ramdas, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So one time, a person approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and said, I'm very impressed with your disciples. They're so eloquent. They speak so nicely on the philosophy. I would like to learn to speak like they do. Can you direct me to one of them? So this man thought that he would be directed to some pundit. But instead, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati played a little trick. He sent him to the gardener called Ramdas, who was illiterate. So when Ramdas spoke to the man, he said, I think there must be some mistake here because I'm not so learned. So this gentleman went back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and explained he's not learned, he's illiterate. He said, you go back to him and ask him what inspires him. So the old gentleman went back, and Ramdas said, I just serve the devotees, I do the gardening, grow fruit for the deities, and the holy name just manifests on my tongue. I feel I'm very blessed by this service, and I don't have Brahman initiation. So he never got Brahman initiation, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said he was pure devotee. And so this gentleman, he understood the message that actually true learning is the purification of the heart. when you have contact with Krishna, yasmin vigyati sarvam vigyatam bhavati. When you know Krishna, you know everything. So this illiterate person knew everything. It's like the Ranga Kshetra, the illiterate Brahmana, he couldn't read Shuddha Gita Podi, Guru Agyamani. I sometimes mispronounce the verses, I sometimes pronounce them correctly. I don't really know what I'm doing because I'm illiterate. But Guru Agyamani, my guru told me to do it. So he's crying. He's thinking, he's seen Parthasarathi, the Supreme Lord, the Lord of all universes, and he's serving Arjuna, his devotee. He's taken the lower position of chariot driver, and his tears are coming down his face. People are laughing at him. He's silly. But Lord Chaitanya could see the purity, you see. So that is how we don't require mundane knowledge, you see. It's all about the intent. Intent is everything. Just be pure. So we were discussing embracing the devotees or touching Tulsi when we do our japa. And then the next one is Garnam Chatat Saroja Saurabhi. Yeah, I'm missing one word. But anyway, it means the nose is engaged in smelling the Tulsi leaves that have been offered to the Lord's feet. So when we offer Tulsi to the Lord, we take a little bit of sandalwood paste. This is how they do the puja every morning. So we have a little, the chandan and then the Tulsi, and you place them on the lotus feet of the Lord. It's very auspicious, very beautiful scent. So that's how the nose gets purified. Rasanam tad arpati. Rasa means the tongue. Arpati, things that are offered to the Lord. So we've already discussed that. The tongue is engaged in eating food that has been offered to the Lord. You see, that's how we control the tongue. And the verse continues, Padau harikshetra padanusarpane shiro rishikesha padabhi vandane kamam tu dashe natu kama kamyaya yadutama sloka janasraya ratihi. Attachment comes through Padau harikshetra padanusarpane. The legs are engaged in harikshetra pada, walking through the holy places. So I was particularly thinking of this, Lord Chaitanya. As I mentioned, he's doing all these things. All his food is offered, of course. But he goes to the holy places, and this is what this chapter is all about. So he's engaging his feet in going to the holy places. He's not engaging his feet in going shopping in the high street or in climbing a mountain to see the sunrise on the summer solstice or whatever it is you want to do, or going to the beach, etc. Anyway, we should engage all our activities. Devotees like to go on holiday. Try our best to go on a holiday where there is a temple so you can engage in devotional service. I hear funny stories of devotees, they go on holiday and then they just, by chance, they meet devotees as soon as they arrive. It's like Krishna's joke. He said, oh, you thought you'd have a break. No. You're going on Harina. Happens a lot. Now, the Lord does arrange things. I've had a really strange experience three weeks ago. So I'll tell you a story. So I went to school in Edinburgh. So one of my school friends, his name's Eric, and he's now a professor of chemistry, and he lives in Manchester. So 6 years ago, I visited Edinburgh to see my parents, and it just so happened that he was visiting at the same time. So while I was chanting Hare Krishna on the street, he suddenly walked up to me and said, oh, how are you going? How are you doing? Oh, Graham, nice to see you, etc. So we had a wee chat. 3 years later, on a Thursday, I'm in central London on Harinam. And then guess what? He's left Manchester again. He's gone down to London for a conference. And then we bump into each other. And we're like, this is really amazing. So I introduced him to my friends. And I just, as a laugh, we all circumambulated him, chanted Hare Krishna. And I was jokingly going, let's purify him. Of course, I wasn't joking, but he understood it that way. You can, if you do things as a joke, you get away with it. But then something really strange happened 3 weeks ago, and you can guess I met him again. This time it was in Windsor. He just decided to visit Windsor for no particular reason, and we were doing Harinam. So he came up to me and said, hey, Graham, how you doing? Took a picture, and then we discussed a bit of philosophy. I gave him a on chanting, and he's still not a devotee, but Krishna has a plan for him, because of all the other people I went to school with, my school is 1,000 people, of which about 100 I would probably recognize if I saw them in the street. I've never met any of them except for him, and it has to be 3 times. And it's always in a place where neither of us live. So what are the chances of this happening? It's obviously Krishna has got some arrangement. Anyway, there's some plan going on, so either in this life or next life, Eric will become a devotee. So if we all pray, it might even happen this life. Who knows? Some change of heart might come upon him. Anyway, so why was I talking about that? Yes, people try and go on holiday to escape the Hare Krishnas, and they don't always succeed. But the last of the... We were talking about Ambarish Maharaj. So the last of the senses, it's all the senses, actually the second last, is the head. The head is engaged in offering dandavats to the Lord. And as we know, every time Mahaprabhu enters the temple, he's offering his dandavats, so his head is touching the ground, and so he's offering obeisances to the Lord. In other words, he's offering obeisances to himself, you see. And kamam tu dasye, engage all one's desires in the service of the Lord. And if we do all these things, we can be like Ambarish Maharaj and like Lord Chaitanya. Do all these things. It's a wonderful example that Ambarish Maharaj is setting, and Lord Chaitanya is setting by example. And as I mentioned, he's doing 2 things simultaneously. He's purifying all these places by his touch, because he's Tirthapad, and he's teaching us by example how we can become purified by engaging in the 9-fold processes of devotional service. And I will conclude by saying, in order for these 9-fold processes to be complete, they must be done in conjunction with kirtan, which is 1 of the 9. You know, this is said in the Sandarbhas, Anya Bhakti Kalau Kartavya, or Yajap Anya Bhakti Kalau Kartavya, Tada Kirtanakya Bhakti Samyoginaiva. In Kali Yuga, we are meant to perform all the 9 processes of devotional service, but they must be done. Samyoga means in conjunction with Kirtanakya Bhakti. And you can guess what that means. Kirtanakya means the Bhakti called. Akya means called. Kirtan. So if we don't do Kirtan, then our endeavor to perform Archana, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, etc. will not bear fruit. So we should always remember to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have Harinam and Hemahimsa today. That's going to start probably 12:15. We have Saturday night Harinam. I assume Sacred Street Party is going out as well. On Thursday, we have Harinam in Rice Slip in the afternoon, followed by the Hare Krishna Festival in Aikanam. So there's so much going on. There's never a day when there's not someone going out in Harinam. If you want to go in Harinam every day, then you'd have to go to Soho, because they're better at it than we are. But then again, their temple's right on Oxford Street, so, you know, you just have to walk out the door and there's a whole group of people from all over the world who are going shopping, following the chariot of their mind, and you can disturb them by chanting Hare Krishna. And we used to be famous for that. There was even once some shops had adverts. There was like the Hare Krishnas in Oxford Street. And one of them was a little derogatory, and the people that made the advert, they actually got sued successfully by the devotees. Happens sometimes. It also happened in New Zealand. There was an advert from the meat industry, and they had these butchers going down the street pretending to be Hare Krishnas. And the Hare Krishnas sued and won. They got compensation for that. It wasn't considered bad taste to have butchers pretending to be Hare Krishnas. You know, so they thought we were just sentimental, but you have to be careful. The Hare Krishnas look sentimental, and Lord Chaitanya looked sentimental. The Varanasi sannyasis, they criticized him for merely dancing and chanting, which is what the Shudras do. But if you cross the Hare Krishnas, you'll find, before you know it, there'll be a lawyer Hare Krishna coming after you. And there's a lot of them around. We have a lot of lawyers, and we have doctors as well, you know, and engineers and so forth. So I'm kind of an engineer, freelance, not a very good one, but anyway, only for a few years. Anyway, enough of that. Thank you all for your time, and I've left time for questions and comments. Prasad is usually served at 9 o'clock, and it's usually not ready until 9 o'clock, so we have 15 minutes. Any comments or questions? Or else I will... say a few more things. Prayojana Prabhu, thank you.
It's about the process of, you could say old age, but old age.
Old age, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting aspect, is that though we lose knowledge for memory, there's a certain thing, aspect, where books, the books and Bhagavatam, they become alive. And birth, death, disease, and old age.
Yeah.
And there's, and in that experience, you can say that you have to gain new knowledge inside. And I, to me, a perfect example was of with Prabhupada, that you learn to let people help you, and
receive service.
And I was just thinking about Prabhupada in his final days.
Yes,
that he started to do whatever his disciples, try this, Prabhupada, try this, and he would do. He would sort of submit, and at the same time, he knew. I'm presuming this actually, maybe he didn't know, I don't know. He certainly knew what was happening, but his service to them was letting them serve them, him. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That was his real
Sometimes
service.
Sometimes it's hard to receive service.
Yeah. It's and humility is a very difficult thing, because you've got to give up this false notion that I can do.
Yes.
You know. But anyway, I thought Prabhupada is a sort of an amazing example those final days, actually.
And I will take the liberty to tell everyone about a Prayojana Prabhu pastime. So I picked up Ekavarna from the hospital, because a few months ago Prayojana Prabhu was in hospital. And Ekavarna Prabhu was saying, even though he couldn't do anything, he refused to take service from anyone. And he couldn't lift his leg up, but someone had to help him. He's like, no, I'll do it. Don't touch me. I want to do everything myself. Because Prayojana Prabhu didn't really want to accept service. But at that time, because he was ill, he had to do it. And it was like a lesson that you had to accept service at some point, even though you don't want to.
Yeah, but Giri Raj Swami gave me a tip. I said, I'm getting really depressed now.
Yeah.
What will help? He says, you make the best use of a bad bargain.
Yes,
and
thank you.
And he was right, actually, because it was a simple way of looking. Whatever you've got, there's the inevitably, there's a purpose, the time passing on. And so even if you can't hardly walk, you still hardly walk. It's okay. Because it's your pilgrimage. Every step becomes a sort of, not necessarily a dance, but it's an experience where, you know, you see people with their Zimmer frames right to the last moment. They'll come as an act of pilgrimage.
Yes, thank you.
You know.
Wonderful. Any other comments, questions? Two ladies here, next to each other, makes it easier.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu.
Thank you.
I have a question. Could you explain a little bit more why Grihasthas shouldn't worship Nrisimhadev? I didn't know that.
Okay. The reason being that this form of Nrisimhadev, he's so fierce and he has high standards that he spoils the material life of the worshipper. So if you're married, this is what is said. I haven't read it in scripture, but this is what I've heard from a lot of people. That if you're a Grihastha and you worship Ugra Nrisimha, then your marriage will break up, you see. So now spiritually it might be good what happens to you, but if you want to keep your spouse, then it's not recommended that you worship Lord Nrisimhadev.
So that's all forms of Nrisimhadev?
You know, I'm not such an expert on that, but I do know that there was a discussion. I have a friend who was trying to changed the rule in Mayapur that Grihasthas couldn't worship Ugra Nrisimha, but I don't know how successful he was. I mean, if you're going to do any worship, I would choose Lakshmi Nrisimha. If you really want to, you might find it more merciful. Hare Krishna. I don't know so much about these things, but thank you.
Hare Krishna, I think Krishna. Mine is connected with that. I actually experience a kind of fear in the community about how you approach Narasimhadeva when you want, how you worship him. Mm. It's kind of a fear that goes around that I'm not comfortable with.
What?
But I do my offering of arti, so am I allowed to?
I see no reason why not.
I just wondered, because the message I got when I joined the society is that you do not have Narasimhadev displayed or offering any kind of worship to him.
Yeah.
And I held that in my mind, but I don't feel comfortable with it, so I've been offering him.
No, I mean, if you have a deity, you must offer.
It's not a deity, just a picture I put in a frame, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think it's better to, I mean, offering food and doing elaborate worship are something different. We have to offer our food, of course. So if you offer to Narasimhadeva, I don't think that's going to be detrimental to your material life. If you're married or whatever, it's like... It's interesting, we have to understand how Narasimhadeva affects young people. My son, he wouldn't enter the temple room when he was about 6-7 years old for about a year because he was too afraid of that picture of Narasimhadeva. But it wasn't just my son, because I found out later on that other devoted children had the same experience. And I think some of the school programs, if the young children, they maybe get scared. So it's an interesting dilemma we have there with that picture. Anyway, Coco, Hare Krishna. We forget how scary things are, but when we're young, something scares us, you know. Hare Krishna.
Haribo.
Oh, Jai.
Wow. Jai. So I heard that in Kali Yuga, it is most advantageous when you are a Shudra. Because that, I don't know why, but I just wonder if that has anything to do with this simpleness that of the heart, that you don't kind of overthink or try to exert power, because there's so much corruption in Kali Yuga. Mm-hmm. Could you comment on that? And also, if you happen to have been appointed of a, if it suits your psychophysical nature to do a work that is administrative, or you know, in terms of also preaching, you know, we are still taking up those posts, after all. So how would you balance yourself or protect yourself from fall downs in case you get too over top of
puffed
your
up,
own
yeah.
head? You know,
it's interesting. I mean, there's a verse from Prad Maharaj, but Prad Vishad Yutai Gunad Aravinda Naba Padaravinda Vimukat Shvapacham Varishtam Tadarpitam Ano Erpitartam. I can't remember the last line. Anyway, the verse goes, better than a fully qualified Brahmana with the 12 qualities is a Shvapacha, a dog eater who sincerely engages his voice, mind, his mind, words, and activities in the service of Krishna, you see. I can't remember the last line. You had Arta, something about the lotus feet. You have to take the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee in order to attain the Lord. Anyway, I gave the example of Ram Dass, and so, yeah, there's the example of Prahlad. So yeah, there is an advantage. I know a devotee who I think is very fixed up, and he said to me he feels blessed that he has no talents, so that he doesn't get puffed up. And so it's like that. You can, if you become very knowledgeable, or if you're a great singer, or you a great artist, it can be very, can go to your head. Whereas real spiritual advancement means to be humble. So this thing about being a Shudra, well, I mean, if you have a Shudra mentality, you're really into sense gratification, so it's hardest for the Shudras to make spiritual advancement. But from the point of view of pride, it's very easy for them if they take to devotional service, because they're coming from a low birth, so they have less reason to be proud. So how to guard against it? You just have to always remember the purpose of your service is a service. You're doing it as a, not because of you're attached, you're supposed to be doing it as a service to Prabhupada. And if you keep that in mind, then you won't get puffed up by your service. Because sometimes people have to take on positions of responsibility, some of which involve, you know, worship. You know, if you take on the post of guru, or if you take on the post of temple president, GBC, etc., you can become puffed up. So it's always, we always remember that we're there, do these, all these activities are done as a service to the devotees. And the guru sees the disciples as his guru. You know that? St. Prabhupada said this, you know. So, because Bhakti Sanasaru had the same mood. He said, I learn so much from my disciples. We should see the guru should see the disciple as the guru, learn from the disciple. So, yeah, but it's dangerous. Okay, thank you. So, I think we should call it a day. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi.